Hello and welcome to the Voices of Pueblo, brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. We're a monthly newspaper here in Pueblo, Colorado. We're looking for sponsors. If you want to help us in our mission to bring hyper-local news coverage to Pueblo, please reach out to us at sales@pueblostarjournal.org. Let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome to the Voices of Pueblo podcast. I am Ben Kaysen here with Coach John Riston, CSU Pueblo. I just retired. I'm incredibly honored to have you on the podcast, Coach. Thank you so much for coming.
Wow. It's, retired from the coaching, but I'm going to be involved in the university and
that's right.
Doing a lot of different things and still be around our players here and helping students is still a passion of mine right now. And
yeah,
I'm just going to do it in a different way.
For sure. Amazing. I'm so glad that you get to stay around the program and do that. And, you know, you've had such a critical role in pointing our program where it needs to be. So I'm really excited that you're still going to be here doing that. And I'm excited today. We're just going to kind of reminisce a little bit about your career and talk about, you know, where the program has come from and where it's going and a little bit about new coach and some of the new things that you guys are doing. So, yeah, you ready to get into it?
I can't wait. And again, thank you for let me be on this podcast.
Man. Absolutely. It's an honor. So I just kind of want to start off with you were a integral part of the restart of the program. So that's 2007, 2008. I'd kind of like to start the story there if we could. When did it first come into your mind of, hey, I'm going to go to Pueblo and have this job? What did that look like?
Well, it was kind of funny. I'm coaching out at UCLA and special teams coordinator and have a pretty good gig out there. And,
yeah.
And the rumors started flying around that we're going to bring football back. And I say USC, that that time was University of Southern Colorado as a graduate. And,
yeah.
And so I followed a little bit, but I was at a point in my career where I go, you know, I think I've done this Division I thing for a while, and I want to try to be a head coach. And what a better way to do that, to be here in Pueblo, Colorado, and do it at Colorado State University Pueblo. And I was really thinking I would hope I get a chance. I would hope yeah. I would get a chance to go interview and be a part of something special. So fast forward. Resigned from my job at UCLA. The coach at that time was Carl Durrell, who prime time just replaced at CU.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you better get that job down in Pueblo. And I said, well, I'm going to try to get it. He says, well, you better resign before you go interview because it was late.
Interesting.
So felt like there was a little pressure on me to go get it done and felt like my back was against the wall. And but I also felt a lot of excitement about building from scratch. So I get a call from Joe Fuller, the AD at that time, and Joe Garcia was our president, and they offered me the job. And I jumped at it. And I thought it was one heck of an opportunity to start something from scratch. Because in education and coaching, you never get to start anything from scratch.
Absolutely.
And I remember looking myself in the mirror and says, hey, big boy, you only have one guy to blame, and that's the guy looking back at you. So you better step up and figure it out and how to go. And so, you know, that was, Ben, it was an unbelievable experience about where do you start? How do you start? And I just remember that we had no footballs. I really didn't have an office on campus. We had no field. We had no helmets. And I was hired July 3rd of 2007. And so, and I remember on our press conference that I go, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I think it was the shortest press conference around. There's a lot of, there's over 100 people there be a part of it. And I just said it's going to be short and simple, and we're going to go to work and have a team that everybody's proud of and being able to move forward. And now fast forward to 2023, here we are.
Absolutely. What was it about this job and this place that pulled you back?
Well, I think I'm a Colorado native, and my parents still live here in Pueblo, Colorado. And I'm a graduate of this school, so why not? I wanted this experience. I enjoy living in Pueblo, Colorado. I absolutely think it's a gem, and I wanted to make the most of it, and lucky enough to, in my mind, when I started it, my mindset was, this is going to be my last job.
Yeah.
And hopefully it is my last job.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you're getting the program started. I'm a huge football nerd, so I'm just wanted to ask you this for a while. What were those first steps like? Like, how'd you decide which people to bring alongside you? How'd you just set the vision? What did that look like?
Well, I knew it looked like clear as mud. Okay. That's what it looked like. And so, but the reality, I needed to hire some staff that wanted to coach and start something from the bottom up, and had some young guys that wanted to go to work and roll up their sleeves and adapt to a vision. And so, I had to hire coaches. I had to, the school was only going to give me two coaches at that time. And I said, you guys don't understand.
Yeah.
And so,
how many were at UCLA?
Yeah. So I was having a recruiting event where I think we had 100 people in the old ballroom, and I was going from table to table. And Russ Meyer, the provost at the time, he walked by and saw what was going on and goes, we need to get the guy some help. And so I was able to get two more coaches. And one of the first coaches I was able to hire was Hunter Hughes. And Hunter was a bulldog. He went to work. He was passionate, really a great recruiter, great football coach. And then I was able to bring a mixture of guys along with that as we grew. But I hired a guy named Sam Sewell. Sam's a son that came a little bit later, but Steve was a former Bronco, was a great player with the Broncos, and he wanted to come down and be a part of it. And so we just kind of jigsaw puzzled it together. And I don't know if we knew the pieces. I don't know if we saw the edges, you know, there you put a puzzle together and try to help you with the edge. I don't know if we knew that, but we kept working towards what that vision looks like. And we wanted to make sure that we brought quality student athletes that wanted to get their degree. That wanted to go compete at a high level, both on and off the field, and then really go and enjoy it. And so we sold them on that opportunity. And we told them that if they wanted to stay and compete at a high level, we're going to go win a national championship. And that's before we even had a stadium. That was where all the yucca and cactus and lizards and snakes were all out where the Thunderbolt was and Pack House. So, you know, that took a lot for those kids to buy into that. And that's what I really appreciate is our original group of our members of our team to buy into that vision to be able to lay that foundation.
Wow. Yeah. So you come into the first year that Oklahoma Panhandle State in the first game. What was going through your head before that first game?
Well, I have to tell a funny story. Is that you normally you eat 4 hours before game. You're doing all that. Well, I can't sleep. And I've been fortunate to coach at a lot of big games before this, but I can't sleep before this one. And talk about pressure. But I'm sitting in my office and I'm looking out my window. And I'm looking down and I see on the C-man, it looks like a big stick up there. And then I talked to Coach Folda. He's asking, you know, are we okay? We're going to be all right. We're going to embarrass ourselves. You know, he's asking. But then out of the corner of my eye, I see this stick start moving. So it's a big old snake. And before our first game, we killed a probably 6-foot rattlesnake as we come down there. And when I was cleaning out my office the other day, I found those rattles on there, so I was able to keep that. So not only did we able to try to put on a product out there that everybody would be proud of, and I knew there'd be 10,000 fans there.
Yeah.
There'd be fireworks, and we were the worst team in America. you know, starting out. We were the worst team in America to be able to get that done. But our kids played hard, and they gave it everything they could. And we found a way to win that first game. And so I thought that was probably one of the most impressive victories that we've ever had.
What was the community response to that first game?
Oh, it was outstanding. I got a picture in my office. That we scored our first touchdown, and you can see the whole stands were filled, and all you see is the armpits in there, and everybody raising it, getting excited, and it was loud. It was really neat to be able to perform that and give everybody a picture of what Pack football was going to be.
And that's awesome. So that's 2008. Now you guys are kind of on your way up as a program. Your first RMAC title comes in 2011. What was the building process like from that first game all the way up to that 2011 team? What was that like?
You know, I want to say I had a secret formula. I had some secret sauce to it. But yeah, what it was like was being able to find enough really good players that wanted to check their egos at the door and wanted to roll up their sleeves and really out hustle, out hit, and then really make sure they had some fun doing it. And so I wanted to establish that right away. And I think we found a bunch of blue collar kids that wanted to do that. We found a coaching staff that was able to mix together. And my first 5 years, I didn't have to replace a coach. And when you have that, the consistency that you can do all that stuff, then it, a lot of great things can happen. And our kids stayed with it. They had a mindset that they weren't going to lose. I thought our kids thought they couldn't, you know, they were going to go beat the Green Bay Packers, which was wonderful. And so I don't think there is a secret sauce. And I try to establish by two things: your attitude and work ethic. And those are the two things you have control over. And I kept emphasizing it, and the kids bought in. And then our core values of trust, faith, and patience. And we had to understand the trust and the plan, and you had to buy in. And really, the faith is belief without evidence. You got to really believe in that trust.
Yeah.
You can't have one foot in and one foot out. And then, yeah, as all with anybody, I said the patience is the key. You got to be able to not hit the reset button on the PlayStation or Xbox or whatever it is anymore, because you got to really value going to work. Because anything that is worth value in this life, you got to go to work. It doesn't come easy. And so that's kind of what we establish, and find enough good players, and we're able to recruit those type of guys. And I was very lucky to be surrounded by a bunch of great coaches and a bunch of great kids that wanted to be able to go and establish what it meant to have their tradition of Pack football.
Do you remember like a moment in your head where, okay, it seems like the RMAC is starting to respect us as a program, like we're not the new kids anymore?
I don't know if there's one moment, but I do. We lost to, I think it was in 2010, I believe we finished 9-2. And we should have been 10-1. We really had minds beat. We stopped them on a fourth down, and they called our young freshman corner, Steph Dickens, offsides. You never call a corner offsides or on a slot that he's offside. Sure. So they called that. And then they gave him another down, and they scored, or else we're making the playoffs then.
Yeah.
And but I remember that moment is where our kids feeling that hurt, us feeling that hurt. And I think being able to establish what that hurt felt like, and how hard and how you got to pay attention to the discipline of the details to be great, help establish as we move forward.
That's amazing.
And there's one other game I remember that we went to Kearney, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And now I'm remembering another game. But we'll talk about the Kearney, Nebraska game where they just used to beat us around. I mean, just pick us up and slap us and throw us down and do that. Well, we went there. They had a really good team, and I think they were ranked 13th in the country, and found a way to go up there. And we just played with great passion and fun, and it was our bus broke down on the way there. We have faced a lot of obstacles, and you know, you could have used a lot of excuse, but we found a way. And then our in 2009, it was probably our first big victory. It was versus Chatham State. So in 2007, on my press conference, I do remember saying this. We're going after Chatham because Chatham was the big boys on the block.
And they had the big win streak.
They had a big winning streak, the whole bit. And we went up there and beat them. And I remember handing everybody T-shirts about why not us? And I had 212 on it. And if you know, at 210 degrees and 211, it's just hot water. And then at 212 degrees, it's steam, and steam can move a locomotive through the mountains. It can do a lot of different things, and it takes one more shovel of the coal to get that steam hot. And so we went up there, and I remember Eddie DeRose and Sal Elizondo and Danny DeRose and everybody, they all went to the game, and it was just as loud and – and for 25 people, it was for 25,000 for us. And it was great. And after the game, it was a hot day. I remember Eddie come back and he gave me a hug on the right on the 50-yard line. And he's in tears and he's excited. And he goes, "You did it. You did it." And I go, "We just started." And he goes, "That's the way to go, John. That's the way to go." And I just remember that to the passion that he had to be able to do that. And so those moments are what I remember more than the national championship, more than a lot of those other things that went on, because those are the things that no one really said you could ever do. And it was fun putting that puzzle together that way.
That's cool. And, you know, I think for me, I came in at CSU Pueblo in 2017 was when I started covering the team. At that point, y'all were kind of the bullies of the RMAC already and had already had that, you know, these guys have already won a national championship. These guys have all this respect. I just know that Pueblo's got this interesting thing where a lot of our region doesn't respect us as a city. So I thought that was a really cool thing to kind of read through about how you guys kind of built that. I don't know. I would almost go so far to say fear of your program from the other schools here in this side of the country. So,
well, that's what you want.
Yeah,
that's what you want to establish. Yeah. That's what I don't know if the fear of our program or not, but they knew when they got down playing with us, they knew they were going to be in a physical combative, we wanted to make sure our mentality was that we wanted to dominate, not just survive, but to dominate.
Hey everyone, Ben Kaysen here. If you're enjoying this podcast, we have a new podcast right here on the Pueblo Star Journal called Pueblo Star Sports, where we'll be interviewing other Pueblo sports figures, players, as well as me and Brandon Samora breaking down the games. If you want to check out that podcast, look out Pueblo Star Sports in your podcast platform. Let's jump back into the interview.
So in 2011, you guys you're in the playoffs, big breakthrough season. You've been building up to it. Talk to me about how did you keep your guys from being complacent?
Well, I think complacency means entitlement. And I tried to stress from day one in our off season, that's what you do now. You're not entitled to anything. You're not entitled to any growth. You're not entitled to anything but rolling up your sleeves and going to work and be a part of this program. And if you don't want to work, you don't want to be a part of it, well, don't waste my time or your time. And so we addressed that. Every day is your resume. Everything you do is your resume. What does that look like to you? What do you want when your name's on it? And then establish, again, your attitude and work ethic are the two things. And so I think we had a very hungry group there that wasn't just satisfied in 2011 getting the playoffs. I believe we lost to Minnesota Duluth, our first playoff game, and they were defending national champs. And I believe it was a 28-24 ball game or something like that. It was really a
real close.
It was a close ball game, and it was great seeing the fans and us hosting a playoff game, and it was really kind of cool.
That's really cool. So, yeah, you guys, you get that win. Now you get into 2012. You guys are starting to win now. You know, the program's getting a lot of respect, ranked number one at some points during that. Tell me the story of the 2014 team. How did we get from that to where you guys ended up in 2014?
Well, I think the way in 2014 really had to have a lot of things happen to you. When you win a national championship, you got to have a lot of luck. And you got to have a lot of luck go your way. And one of those things that I think happened on our 14 team is our schedule was right. And our playoff matchups were right for us. And so it's not so much about getting in the playoffs and advancing. It's about who you play in the playoffs and the matchups. And our matchups were right. We're going to play at Angelo State. And we had played them a year before and kind of whipped up on them in Texas.
Yeah.
In Jerry's World there. And so I knew our kids would be fired up to play them at our place. And we ended up beating them pretty good. I believe 50-0 or something to that sort. And then we played Ohio Dominican the next game and jumped out to an early lead and kind of held on. And I remember Daniel Weiss to returning a punt, 80 yards or whatever to seal the win, and so that was, we could play with those teams and would not be a physical matchup like some teams might be. So then we played West Georgia in the semifinal game, which was a special game here in Pueblo, Colorado, and that was a bunch of Southeast Conference transfers. And that was a flat out war with kids just landing on the line and going to work. And it was fun to see. And we found a way to score one more point, found a way to get it to 10-7 on a trick play to Zach Boyd. And that put us in the national championship. I knew if we won our semifinal game, we would win the national championship. I just had, because I had played that scenario in my mind 10,000 times. And I just, in my mind, I knew we were going to go win that national championship game no matter who we played. I knew we needed to get there. That was the key. And so we got there, and it was because of the matchup. And then 14, we lost to Fort Lewis, I think, middle of the season, and that kind of refocused it. We also beat a really good Sam Houston team down in Texas at their place. They were ranked number one or number two in the FCS football championship series, and so we had a damn good team. We had damn good coaches that put them in a great position, but there were some ebbs and flows of that. But really the bottom line is, I think the 14 team, we got lucky. And it's okay to say that. I think it's okay to manage that. We took advantage of that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the key to anything in life is, did you take advantage of that opportunity? And we did.
That's amazing. Yeah. So y'all get to the national championship game. What's going through your mind before you step out on the field against Minnesota State Mankato?
Oh, I just didn't want to trip. I didn't want to trip coming out, leading the team out and trying to do that. I thought we... I didn't want to screw that game up for our kids. And I felt like no matter who we're going to play, we're going to beat them. And I just think I was just so confident with, because I played that game 10,000 times in my head, and we won it every time. And I think our kids had thought that way. I think that our kids took advantage of everything they could do, and I wanted them to enjoy it. And so I think that the last part that I wanted to enjoy it. I really wanted it, the kids to enjoy it. And so I try to stress all week, take a moment to enjoy it. And because this will go down to being a special moment for all of us.
Wow. And so in that game, do you remember the moment where it sealed in, we're going to win this game?
Well, I think that the way our defense was playing and playing fast, and Chris Bonner threw a ball down to Paul Browning that made a heck of a play, and it was nice to have him healthy. I remember our offensive line was a little bit inexperienced, but they came to play and knocking them off. I remember Troy Thompson from Pueblo Central that made a heck of a catch. And but I remember Cameron McDonald just kind of, I'm going to make sure I get a 33, a 34. And we weren't going to have a lot of big yards, but he's going to find a way to get it done. And we controlled the ball game that way. And Gerard Lacey and Steph Dickens, Josh Bridle blocked a field goal, and Steph Dickens picked it up and advanced it. And so there was a lot of great moments. So I think at the opening kickoff, I was so confident we were going to win the ball game.
Wow.
How about that?
That's
so
amazing.
I don't remember one special moment that we got this.
Yeah.
I just felt like we got it from the whole game.
Wow. So you guys win that championship. You know, you're celebrating the championship with the guys at the end of the game. Everyone's running around. It's madhouse. What do you remember about being in that locker room after the game?
Well, it was funny. They had us in two different locker rooms, so it was hard to get everybody together. But I just remember afterwards, you know, they present the trophy. They got a stage they bring out, and then confetti's all doing it. But I remember our guys doing snow angels in the confetti and doing that. But I just remember for myself, I was just going to stand back and watch them and enjoy it and have them take it all in. And just the smile on those kids' faces was special.
Wow. That's so cool. Yeah, like when we talk about that team as well, like what was it like to be with those assistant coaches and the guys that you'd been around and celebrate that championship coach to coach?
Well, you know, we all have goals. We all have aspirations. But we were able to take it from zero to 100. And there's not a lot of times in your lifetime that you ever get to do that. And I think that was very, very fulfilling. It was very humbling. It was very, it was just humiliating in the sense that we did it. And the value of developing the human spirit, getting them all on the same page with your coaches and everything. And there's, you just can't replace that.
Amen. That's so cool.
It is.
So I want to give you a chance. I don't want to put you on the spot too much, but who are some of the players from those 2010s teams, or maybe just all the way through your run, that stand out to you as incredibly important to the Thunderwolves and the brand that's come up out of that?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here with a lot. I think all those kids that that stayed that first year to graduation, you know, the Kobe Whittocks of the world, the JT Haddams of the world, the Aaron Hernandez of the world, Lee Meisner, I think I said that, but all those guys that stayed with us from day one all the way through, and I think that those guys really helped. The Kobe Whittocks, the the John Baileys of the world that helped establish to bring in the Gerard Lacy's, the C.J. Roberts, the Steph Dickens, the McDonald brothers, the Chris Bonner, the Kevin Cuffs, the Kieran Duncan's, Jared Radenbaugh's, the Tony Camptons of the world. There's so many that I'm not doing it justice because I'm a linear, but just everybody all together that wanted to be a part of it. And I thank them for letting me be a part of their life and let me coach them.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that side of it. Like, you've gotten a chance to be really close with a lot of guys over these years and be able to have a really good influence on them. What's it been like to be in that position in these young men's lives?
Well, that's what I do, why I do what I do. Hmm. And it was funny when official announcement of my retirement of coaching, I think I had 245 texts.
Wow.
And I had over 20 phone calls from majority players, former players. And so that was great. Hmm. It was really cool. It was really humbling. And all of it was thank you. Hmm. And so I get emotional on that because I guess that's what stirs the soul.
Yeah.
And they felt enough to validate and say thank you. So that meant a lot.
Hmm. Wow. Man, that's so cool. So you had an interesting kind of tough challenge that came up in 2020 that most coaches as well around the world had to deal with. But when it comes to influencing young men's lives and being that guy for them, what was it like being a coach during the COVID pandemic?
I don't know if I did tell you the truth because it's different. I don't know if you can touch souls through Zoom. I don't know if you can not do it looking a guy in the eye. I don't think you can do it without rolling your sleeves and going to work. And that was taken away from us. And just like a lot of programs, but it was very difficult. And I think our program slipped a little bit because of that. Hmm. And I think it made me evaluate a little bit of where we're going. And I think it really led to maybe me making this type of decision right here. I think that COVID had a lot to do with reflection and whether I could do the job the way it needed to be done to carry on the tradition and how much respect I have for it. So COVID really screwed me up and from a mentality standpoint. And so to your question, I think I did a crappy job.
Hmm. Well, I think I've heard some stories from players who've been in your program during that would say the opposite as well, just to encourage you. I think everyone was trying to figure out, you know, what to do during that. But I can't even imagine
it was just so different.
Yeah.
You know, that it's so different in a standpoint that you can't hold them accountable per se. Hmm. Except on one Zoom call, and being able to do the different things. But it was hard for me to know that because you lost that personal contact, and whether the kids realized that you cared enough about them, and that's what I see our role being able to do. But it was challenging.
Hmm. Absolutely. Well, yeah. I mean, you mentioned in that the standard of being a Thunderwolf that you wanted to keep going. What is that for people who aren't here in Pueblo and don't know the program very well? What is that you're trying to keep going?
Well, I think it's always doing your best and never let adversity stop you and be stronger than your strongest excuse and making sure that you can grind and that you go to work and you put your head down. And if it's good enough, it's good enough. Because that will lead to victories. But if you think victories are going to just happen, it's not. You got to make sure that you enjoy this process, and then do it so you have a little fun. Hmm. And I, you know, the way we spell fun around here is WIN. And I want them to go win the day at everything they do. I want them to go be a leaders in their classroom. I want them to change our society. Hmm. I want them to care about other people. Hmm. And if we can do those things, then I think we've accomplished something.
Hmm. That's amazing. So I've heard you talk about it before. I just want to give you a chance if you'd like to. Coach Donnell Leomidi was a big part of this program for a long time. I wanted to just ask you, what was his impact on the Thunderwolves and on you?
Well, he was a true warrior. Hmm. He was a Buffalo soldier. And so one of those things that a guy that had such a spirit to him. Hmm. And he was a kid a guy, a husband, a man that really was the epitome of not letting your being stronger than your strongest excuse, as I talked about. I mean, he could have, there was many times after the game he'd go to the hospital, be at work Sunday morning. He was taking chemo and calling a defensive game when we played Mesa. I remember his wife comes stomping down on the field, and I give her a bad time about this, but stomping and says, he's got to go now. We got to get him to Anschutz. We got to get him up there right away. And so he was just a true warrior with a heart of gold and the spirit, and kids loved him. He's still leaving his trademark on there. And so I couldn't ask for a better colleague. Couldn't ask for a better coach, but I couldn't ask for a better man to exemplify what it meant to be a warrior and go compete on a daily basis. And that's who Donnell Leamedi is.
That's amazing. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Talk about that. Yeah. So the Thunderwolves became and very much are a huge part of Pueblo's sports scene. So talk to me a little bit about how has Pueblo as a community embraced you, embraced the Thunderwolves over these years?
Well, I think that we made Saturday afternoons in the fall an event. Pueblo's an event-oriented town. They come out for special things. And we have developed a great passion for representing the city of Pueblo, and it just happens to be CSU Pueblo that represents that. We made it a chance for the city to come out on the hill, per se.
Yeah.
And we made an event for the tailgaters and the people that want to enjoy a Saturday afternoon. And so I've been entrenched in Pueblo, Colorado. I love the people of Pueblo, Colorado. I value what it stands for. And I'm lucky to be a citizen here in this city, and I'm going to continue to represent that. And I know Coach Vigil and the rest of his staff are going to take on the shield and make it shinier and carry it on better than it's ever been before.
I want to take a second as well to just say thank you for me, because when I was trying to decide which college to go to, I wanted to do sports broadcasting really badly. That was a big thing for me. So I grew up in Rye. I would come up here to y'all's games. I was a big, big Thunderwolf fan, and I was trying to figure out, you know, where could I get an opportunity to, you know, cover sports and cover a team that is actually, you know, worth covering. And I honestly think your program was a big reason why I chose this university and stayed in town. And I'm super thankful for you for that. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate you making the right choice and a smart choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad I did too. Yeah. What's so special about this university itself?
Well, I do think that, what I try to tell people that, you're going to get a great 4-year degree. When you walk out of here, it's going to say CSU Pueblo. And when you walk out of Fort Collins, it's going to say CSU Fort Collins. And you're going to be walking out with an accredited degree and going to be challenged. And so that's what you want. But the key to this is that you're a name, not a number. And people are going to invest in names and not number. And it's just like investing. If you want to put a penny a day and have a great compound effect, you're going to gain a lot out of it. Education, you got to go invest, and there's people in here ready to invest in you. And so when you walk out of here, you're going to walk out with a degree that you're going to be able to go compete for the next 40 years. And that's the most important part of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So now I'll just give you a chance I haven't met Coach Vigil yet. A lot of Pueblo hasn't yet, as he's just getting set up for this next year coming up. What can you tell us about him? Why are you excited about him taking the mantle of the program?
Well, I think Phil is a up and coming rock star in this business. I think that every time I had a phone conversation with him, I hung up and go, this kid's got it. This kid's impressive. This kid's got something to him. And so I think that Phil's going to do it his way, which he has every right and should do it, not follow what I did or anything, because that's not the right way, because you got to be Phil Vigil, not John Wriston. And so he's got enough moxie in his neck. He's got enough resolve to figure it out. And he's humbled. And I think that he's going to put a great spin on. He's got a great young staff, and they're going to take this team and this program to heights it hasn't seen.
And tell us about your role.
Well, I wish I knew. my role is to yell at officials still. No.
Hey, that's great.
I'm an external affairs with our athletic department and our university. And I'm going to be a jack of all trades, master of none, and continue to develop relationships and help our university grow. And I appreciate the university making this thing happen for me. I'm looking forward to creating value with relationships and making this a better university with my role, what I have to do.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm really glad that you're sticking around and getting to do that. And yeah, I'm really happy about that.
So. Yeah, so am I. It's a little awkward sometimes with what should I do with football and not do when, you know, sure, when you walk away. But we'll figure that out. And I want to give Phil and his program all the space they deserve and need.
That's good. That's awesome. Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I value you and value your heart, and I value what we're trying to do for Pueblo, Colorado. And again, if there's anything I can do, believe me, I've screwed up a lot more things than I've made right. So you better be careful about that. But anyway, I appreciate you, Ben, and thank you, and go Pack.
Go Pack. Thank you, Coach. I really appreciate it. This has been brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal, this podcast. We're going to be covering CSU Pueblo sports over this next year and further on. So like Coach was talking about, those Saturday events up on the hill, CSU Pueblo getting to play, we will be where you want to go for coverage on that team. Coach, thank you so much for spending the time with me, and go Pack.
I appreciate it. And again, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you like the podcast, please go give us a rating, give us a like, give us a subscribe right here on your podcast platform. Additionally, we have a new podcast coming out called Pueblo Star Sports. You can find that by searching Pueblo Star Sports in your podcast platform. Also, we're looking for new music for the intro and outro. If you're a local producer or singer, please compose something and send it to us at sales@pueblostarjournal.org. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.